Well, praise the Lord. You look wonderful. Just turn to your neighbor and say, you look amazing today. Somebody is a man sitting next to a man and felt incredibly awkward and just stared at their neighbor and was like, I'm not going to say that to you, guy. Just give him one of those, you know, finger guns, you know. Hey, high five a couple people before you sit down and let's take our seats today. As always, I love, just so excited to have the opportunity to bring the word this morning. You know, thank you to Pastor Adam and Pastor Marlise for entrusting me today. And man, I'm really pumped. This series, Hearing from God, I mean, big stuff, you know what I mean? Like, on the list of, like, top 10 questions that people ask and they want to know of God, this is definitely on the list, you know? Like, how do I hear from God? How do I know if it is God? How do I know if God is speaking to me? How do I know if God said X? You know, like, this is a big deal. And, you know, as we've been preaching the series, I couldn't help but think of the phrase that I learned when I first started going to church. I started going to church when I was a senior in high school. I hadn't committed my life to Jesus yet, but you know, all the pretty girls went to church, so I went to church as well. Hey, look, we all have our reasons why we got here. It's not why I stayed. Well, I mean, you know, I got the most beautiful girl, but that's not why I stayed in church. But I learned that there was this phrase that if you use this phrase properly, it always got you off the hook. As a matter of fact, like, if you were, like, let's say, you know, went on a couple dates with a girl and you just didn't want to, like, continue these dating, all you had to do was go up to them and say, hey, I've been praying, speaking to the Lord, and I just feel like God said we shouldn't be together anymore. And it was like a get-out-of-jail-free card. I'm like, this is awesome! Man, God spoke to me all the time, you know. I tried it the other way. God said we should be dating. It didn't quite seem to work that. But, you know, the God said phrase. We use that phrase as Christians sometimes like it's, you know, peanuts at the circus. Like, it's just everywhere. You know, I've been in ministry, like, full time since, like, 2004, and I've worked a lot with college students, you know. Before my current role as executive pastor, I was the master's commission director here and in Florida, and I was assistant director staff of one for a long time. And so you deal with a lot of people trying to figure out what God is telling them to do in their future. And there's nothing like seeing someone come up to you and say, hey, you know, I've been praying, and I feel like God told me I need to work at Chick-fil-A. You know, it's going to let me get off on Sundays, and I like their chicken, number one, with no pickles, add the honey roasted barbecue sauce. That's right. We can feel the Spirit of the Lord in the room right now. Come on, somebody. I'd say we could all go to Chick-fil-A afterwards, but it's closed. And so they come here, and they're like, oh, that God said that. And I'm like, that's awesome. And then the next week, they come back to you, and they go, and I'm like, oh, hey, do you go apply to Chick-fil-A? Yeah. Oh, no, I've been praying. I've been praying, and God's told me that I need to go to the military. That is what I need to do. And I'm like, oh, that's amazing. So no more Chick-fil-A. No. I prayed. God said the military. Oh, great. Next week they come back to you. Did you go see a recruiter yet? Oh, no. I've been praying. You know, God told me I'm supposed to be a missionary. And then the next week, God told me I'm supposed to do this. And then the next week, God told me I'm supposed to be doing that. And the truth about it is, God's voice never sounded so fickle as when Christians who use the word God said, who think mostly on what they want, use that phrase, God said. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, I know you've never done that before. We've never done that before. But it's an interesting little predicament that we find ourselves in because, like I said, it's a lot of times we think on what we want. You know, we have our own desires, our own selfish desires. I don't know if you've ever been selfish. Probably not. I probably have been more than you have been. But I realize that my own selfish desires at times can, you know, dictate my thoughts. And so sometimes it's easy to confuse the God said with a, hey, this is what I want. And so I think it's important to understand that as we get into this message today, but I'm going to read a lot of scripture this morning, a lot of scripture. It's going to be a lot of fun, but I'm going to start with a scripture from the book of Job, chapter 33. We're going to read verses 14 through 18 and just give you a little preface of what this verse is talking about here. There's a man, his name is Elihu. Elihu was hanging out with Job and three of Job's older friends. I really like this person, Elihu. Elihu, when Job was talking to his friends and he was telling them what was going on, and his friends tried to give him feedback on what God was saying and what God was doing, they were all getting it wrong. They weren't giving Job the right answers. Elihu's the younger one. And it says in chapter 32, he's like, hey, look, I'm younger than you three guys. Out of respect, I was just keeping my mouth shut. But now that y'all are done talking and you haven't found the answer, Job, I want to tell you what God's trying to tell you through this. So, he comes in, this young guy, with a word from God for Job. And I love the thinking of it here. But he begins to talk about the way God speaks. And he says this starting with verse 14. He says, for God speaks again and again. Everybody say again and again. God speaks again and again. That means that he doesn't speak just once. Like Pastor Adam has mentioned, like Pastor Steve has mentioned, God is continually speaking to his people. God is not silent. He is communicating to you and to me. He's speaking. Here it says that God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. So he's just letting us know right off the bat, listen, God is speaking. It's not a matter of whether or not God is speaking. It's a matter of whether or not we recognize the voice of God, whether or not we can distinguish the voice of self and the voice of God, whether or not we can distinguish the weird pizza we ate last night and the voice of God. You know, it's if we recognize God's voice. He says he speaks in dreams and in visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on people and they lie in their beds. It says he whispers in their ears. And then it says he terrifies them with warnings. He says he makes them turn from doing wrong. He keeps them from pride. He protects them from the grave, from crossing over the river of death. I love this because this young guy speaking to Job gives us a very important understanding about the way God speaks. And that understanding is this: there is no formula. There's no formula. You cannot read four verses for 3 minutes, pray for 2 minutes, hold your hands out like this and say, God speak, and him go, it just doesn't work that way. Did you know there's no formula? You know, if you look at Jesus, I think he wanted us to know that there's not a formula with God, especially when you begin to see the way he healed people. He healed, many blind men in the New Testament, yet none of them were healed the same. He healed lepers, but yet they weren't healed the same. He raised people from the dead, yet they weren't raised the same. There was no formula. There's no, religion that's going to make God speak more clearly to you and to me. And it's important for us to know that, because here's what happens. If you find out something works, what do? You keep doing that. You're like, well, I remember that one time I was journaling and I was writing down my prayers, and because that worked, that's the only way I hear from God. So that's the way I hear from God. We just stick on the thing that we thought worked. That time when I flipped open my Bible and went, okay, that's what God said. Let their blessings cause them to stumble. Whoa, that's not what God said. That's really the verse I pointed at, by the way. Whoa, got to change that. We want to hear something better about. We think because that worked once, well, maybe that's the way God will always speak, But the truth is, there's no formula. There's no formula. And so we can't sit here and go, well, this is exactly the way. But what we can do is begin to understand in a relationship with God the way he communicates to us. And we can understand that it is varying. And so what I want to do this morning in the time that I have is I just want to talk about four ways that we can use to hear the voice of God. Okay, so I just to hear the voice of God. And the first one, if on the top 10 list is, hearing from God, if that's on the top 10 list, the first one is also on the top 10 list. A great way to hear from God is to simply be in God's will. And I know you're thinking, man, if I'm having trouble hearing God, do you think I know what God's will is in my life? I know what you're thinking. It's a complicated one as well. But the truth is, I actually think the will of God is pretty simple. And I'm going to get there in a minute. But before I get there, I want to read you this awesome scripture in the book of Jonah. Man, you probably know the story of Jonah in the well. If you don't know the story of Jonah in the well, I don't know, go watch VeggieTales or something. You'll learn all about it. And the pirates who don't do anything. Come on, somebody. I didn't even grow up in church, and I know that stuff. All right, here's what it says in chapter 1. We're going to read verses like 1 through 5. Jonah, it's a prophet from God. God starts to speak to Jonah, and this is what he says to him. He says, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. I think I pronounced that correctly. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Now, it's interesting when you read this, because we know that God is sending Jonah to the city of Nineveh because Nineveh is in a mess. It's messed up. And we know that Jonah has some issues with Nineveh because of some past situations that have happened. So he's telling him, go to the city of Nineveh, and God calls it the great city of Nineveh. It's interesting that he's about to tell us, hey, look, they're messed up in sin. They're jacked up. They need to get things straight in their life. But right here, God classifies it as great. And I think the way God views it is really important for us to understand. Oftentimes, we're speaking death on things that are difficult because we don't want them around anymore. But that's not the way God functions. God functions in a way where he sees the difficult, but he sees what can come from it, and he calls it great. He calls it great. It's like old school church because, you know, playing cards were of the devil. Televisions were of the devil. Radio was of the devil. You know what I'm talking about? All those things were of the devil. That is not sanctified and holy. But there was somebody who goes, no, I see TV as an opportunity to get the gospel into more people's homes. I see radio as an opportunity. No, this is great. We just need to redeem it for a God purpose. That's what God was talking about in Nineveh. So he says, Jonah, go to the great city of Nineveh. And he says, tell them that, announce to them that my judgment is coming against them because I've seen how wicked its people are. He wants them to know, hey, look, there needs to be a change. And what does Jonah do? He hears God very clearly. It says, Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. That is not what Jonah wanted to do. So he goes the opposite direction. The Bible says he went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket, went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Whew. So God spoke to Jonah in the beginning. He said, go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh, let the people know. I want them to turn their hearts towards me. Jonah hears God speak. I imagine it was like, you know, Jonah was like laying in bed and God just sat down and was like, hey, you know where you need to go. Go to the great city of Nineveh and go tell the people that I'm for them and I want to bring them close to me. I imagine that's what it was like. And Jonah was like, no. And he walks away and now God's like, well, you must have missed what I said back there, so let me speak a little bit louder for you so you can hear me. And the Bible says that he hurls a great windstorm, and the Bible declares that it's actually a strong enough storm to break the ship apart. And the crew, these professional sailors, fearing for their lives, are crying out to their gods that don't exist. They're throwing the cargo overboard, and what's Jonah doing? It says, but all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. Isn't it interesting to think that in the beginning, you know, there Jonah, he's hanging out with God. He's doing what God has called him to do. He's just living his life, a God-honoring, God-fearing life in the will of God, I would say. God speaks to him. He hears him clearly. He decides that that's not what he wants to do, and he walks away from the will of God. And when God whispered in the beginning, Jonah heard him. But when he's outside of the will of God, God shouts. Jonah still couldn't hear. Wouldn't even wake him up from his slumber. Can I tell you, being in God's will is the very thing that will unlock the voice of God so you can hear it more clearly. And I know, so we can understand that scripturally that it is true. And if we can understand that scripturally that's true, the question is how do I know what God's will is for my life? Now, here's where I think most people mess this up. We think God's will is it's like a location or a doing. You know, it's what I do. Here's the thing. God's blessed every single one of us, the Bible would say, with gifts and talents. If we look into the Old Testament, when the tabernacle was built, there were people who were skilled in artistry. They were skilled in carving. They were skilled in gold work, and they were skilled working with fabric. And it says that those people, anointed by God to do the task to build the tabernacle, it's a beautiful picture. They were skilled to do that. The will of God, though, rarely is that. The will of God is actually pretty simple. And this is what the Bible would say about the will of God. If you look at Matthew 22, 36 through 40, there were some religious types that looking at Jesus and they're like, hey, what's the greatest commandment? Tell me. I need to know what's the most important commandment. And Jesus has a great response. He says that he replies back, you must love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Secondly, is equally important. So, second one here, the first one, is the greatest commandment. But this next one I'm about to tell you is equally as important. There's an equal sign in the middle there. That means you cannot have the first one without having the second one. They're not void of each other. You can't be so committed to God, but yet so who cares about people? Do you understand what I'm saying? And so the will of God, here it is. I'm telling you, love your neighbor as yourself. Then Jesus explains that the entire law and all the demands of the prophets. So basically, the Old Testament are based on these two things. So if we were to sum it all up, Jesus says, this is the sum total of everything in the Old Testament. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. So the will of God is simple. Love God and love people. Now, that's even more complicated because the word love gets us a little confused sometimes. And so I'm going to read to you a scripture on what God said love is. Now, when we read this scripture, usually we think that's the way I'm supposed to treat my spouse. I've heard this at a wedding before. Pretty sure it's a marriage verse. Can I tell you, it's not a marriage verse. It's actually a love verse. Love verse. This is what God says love is. This is beautiful. You're going to really like it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. It's not boastful. It's not proud. And it's not rude. Love is obviously difficult to do. I'm just kidding. It doesn't say that in the Bible. It says love does not demand its own way. No, this is the way it is. Either this way or no way. This way or the highway. Love doesn't do that. It says that, it is not irritable. You ever woke up in the morning and your wife look at you and go, what's wrong with you? Do you hear yourself? Why are you so cranky? And you're like, I'm not cranky. Well, obviously you are. Something's wrong. Well, I wasn't cranky before, but I am now. Why are you asking me this question? Anybody? Just me. Just there's a few of us. I see that hand. All right. Feeling better. Not irritable. All right. We should just start back at the beginning of the list and work on this, and I think the world would be a better place. It keeps no record of being wronged. You've probably talked to a person before. It goes, well, yeah, man, if you remember what they did to me, back then, last week, last year, 10 years ago in school, do you remember the way they talked to me? Do you remember what they did, how they acted towards me? It keeps no record of being wronged. Now, there's a lot more here that I got to say on this whole love thing. But a lot of us, we're already thinking, I love the people that are close to me, love my family. I think the Bible would say something like, don't the pagans even do that? Isn't that what people do in general? You love your family. You know, some people say, I love my family because I have to. The Bible actually says that you need to love your neighbor. And Jesus would clarify that your neighbor is anyone that's in close proximity to your life that needs you to reach out your hand and help them. And then it says this. It says, it does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Can I just tell you, making harsh political statements on social media doesn't prove your point as much as it shows that there is a wall between you and the person who thinks differently from you. Now, I know that's dangerous saying, because if that offends you, you're probably mad at me that I've said that. But can I tell you, I watched this video the other day, And it was going around asking people in New York City, Republican friends. And they were like, no, I don't have any Republican friends. And, you know, I'm sure if the video was reversed and they were going around asking a bunch of Republican people if they had Democrat friends, it would say the same thing. No, I don't have any Democrat friends. Can I tell you, if you sat down and had a conversation with someone who thought differently you, but an actual conversation, can I tell you, you'd probably get a lot further than making one-liner statements that you hope the world would share so we could get insta-famous, you know what I'm saying? Can I tell you, it's stuff like that that we have to be aware of and cautious of. It says this, the Bible says, love never gives up, love never loses faith, it is always hopeful, and it endures through every circumstance, no matter what happens, no matter what I go through, no matter what situation hits, love will still exist. The will of God. You want to hear the voice of God? Can I tell you, get in the will of God. What is the will of God? Love God with everything on the inside of you and love your neighbor as yourself. That right there, ladies and gentlemen, will unlock the voice of God in your life like you've never heard it before. You'll be sitting there at the Marshalls about to check out and you'll see someone behind you trying to buy something, but they don't have enough money for it, but you just feel the nudge of the Spirit. You know what? This person probably could get a little blessing right now. You'll be at the grocery store and you'll say, oh, you know what? That person in front of me, I'm going to swipe my card for their groceries. Why? Because I just want to do something great for somebody. I just want to show love. You know, showing love, we say it in church, I just want to love on some people. We don't know what that means, right? Does anybody know what love on some people means? Typically, we think it means go to church, give somebody a side hug. Hey, it's good to see you. Josh is like the master of the side hugs. You ever went to hug somebody and like they make sure you only give them a side hug? They reach around, they grab your other shoulder and pull you back like, nah, don't give me anything else other than a side hug. Side hugs. That shows love. I'm loving on some people with some side hugs. Can I tell you that's not loving on people? Loving on people is being there, helping. It is praying and believing for justice in their life. It is not being rude. It's being kind. It's being polite. It's being patient when people think differently than you. It's not being jealous or boastful of all that you have or jealous of what they have. It's not being proud. It's not being, do you understand what? That's love. It's reaching out. It's going beyond yourself to do something for someone to help them see a clear picture of the gospel first and foremost, and to also see a clear picture of the fact that that God is a good God. One more story here. I'm so stuck on the God's will part that I feel like if you miss the rest of it, it's almost going to be all right. I was in Ohio, and my tire was flat, so I pull up to the gas station to pump my tire up. And when I pull up there, there's this girl in front of me. She's like in her young 20s, and I could tell she's confused. And I get out of the car. I'm like, hey, do you need help? It's like 22 degrees. It's disgusting. It's like misting rain and snow and ice. It was horrible. And she's like, I don't really know how to use this. I put my change in, but I don't think it worked. I'm like, oh, we got any more? Let's try again. She's like, I don't have any change. I'm like, okay, hold on a second. I run back to my car. Not thinking about it. I got like a bucket of change. It takes a quarter every time you go to like Aldi to get the, you know, grocery cart. So you keep quarters in there. So I get all my quarters out and I start pumping them in. We try it. It doesn't work. And I'm like, oh, maybe the quarters are done. So I just pull my wallet out and I swipe my card real quick. It's like a dollar, you know. It's not a big deal. It's very small. Swipe my card and she's just like, what are you doing? I'm like, we're just going to try to get this thing to work. What if, you know, she's like just, and so long story short is we didn't get the machine to work. She ends up calling her dad and her dad comes and helps her out. And she just looks at me, she goes, most people wouldn't do this for somebody. And I thought, man, that's a sad perspective of life. Could you imagine the church started being the church and doing simple little things like that that really didn't take anything from me? I called Megan. I'm like, hey, we might have $5 on the card we didn't expect. You know what I mean? Could you imagine how different the world would look if we could live our lives like that, kind to people? Be in the will of God, and you'll start seeing when God's speaking to you, and you'll go, oh, yeah, God wants me to do something here. God wants me to step in here. Couple other things I want to talk about because, you know, I only have so much time, you know, I don't want to bore you this morning. The second thing is, and I'm not going to really get into it real deep, but you just need to listen. We need to understand that God's voice is both audible and sometimes people can speak silently. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. Your wife ever looked at you with that look? Like someone? And you're like, oh, gotcha, babe. I know what you're saying. Everybody else in the room is oblivious. The truth is, the look normally doesn't change. But what the message sometimes does is a different message almost every time. It's the same look. And after a while, you've been married for a while, you actually can communicate without saying a word at all. It's like you're in each other's heads. It's a beautiful thing because communication is more than just sound. Do we understand that? God communicates in more ways than just sound. And so we have to tune our ear to listen. Another thing here that we have to understand is we need godly, wise counsel. And what I mean by that is we need people in our life that when it is a little hairy and we're not quite sure if we've heard God correctly, I'm a pastor, I've read the Bible a whole lot, and there's still times in my life where I feel something from the Holy Spirit. I feel God speaking to me, but I just want to get a check from someone I trust. So I'll go and I'll sit down with Pastor Adam. I'll call some friends that are pastors of mine, and I'll just say, hey, can you talk to me about this real quick? I just want to make sure I'm not missing something. I want to make sure you hear all my thoughts and you don't hear selfishness coming out from me. I'll sit down with godly wise counsel. And the Bible actually has a whole lot to say about it. In Proverbs, it's a lot from Proverbs. Here, let me give them to you. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. It's hard. We hear the word fool, and we're like, well, that's not me. I'm going to check out of that verse. But what it's saying is, if you are wise, you will listen to advice. If you choose not to listen to advice, you're being a fool. That's what that verse is saying. I know it sounds real harsh and mean. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, plans fall, but with many advisors, they succeed. Proverbs 19:20-21 says, listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. There are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And the last one here I'm going to read this morning in this topic is Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Can I tell you, no man's an island. None of us can do this by ourselves. And no one has all the answers. None of us have all the answers. And the moment we come to terms with the fact that we don't have all the answers is the moment we can leverage the people God has placed in our life to help us move forward. Godly wise counsel is there because God wants people in our life who can speak to the situation at hand that can help us move forward in the call of God in our lives. Nothing wrong with calling your pastor, calling Pastor Adam, reaching out to your community group leader, reaching out to the godly leadership God has placed in your life and going, hey, I feel like I've been speaking with God. I feel like this lines up with the scripture, but can I bounce this off of you real quick? Can you give me some of your thoughts? Can I tell you, there's a difference between doing that and going to someone saying, hey, I've been praying, this is what I've decided, this is what I'm doing. Hey, can you bless it? Oh, this is what I'm doing. I just want you to give the blessing of God over it. No, that's not wise counsel. That's just telling someone, this is what I'm doing, and I want you to like it. So can you tell me you like it so I feel better about myself? Godly wise counsel is going and saying, hey, this is what I'm thinking. Can you help me talk about this? Can you pray about this with me? Can you help me? Am I hearing the word of God correctly on my life in this situation? Can I tell you, if we did that right there, I could imagine how many heartaches it would save us. Oh man, I could imagine just the difficult seasons that we may find ourselves in at times, how much that would help us avoid those moments. And the last thing I know all these probably could have been messaged by themselves, but the last thing, the oh so important thing, is know God's word. Know his word. Read his word. You know, some people's like, yeah, I just can't get into the Bible. It just feels boring to me. And I think to myself, what book are you reading? What are you reading? I mean, there's stories in here that if like you're under 18, I don't even want to talk about right now. You know what I mean? You've probably read them too. If you're an adult, just go look up the story of Onan. You'll know what I'm talking about. This thing is like filled with crazy stuff. Like, oh my gosh, this is not boring. We just need to take a moment and look into it. You know, the truth is I could probably go around, and if you're into basketball, I could probably ask you, hey man, who won the NCAA championship in 1992? And you'd be like, oh yeah, man, that was when Duke went, you know, and they won the game 87-72. The top shooter in that game was such and such, you know, field goal percentage rates. I know nothing about basketball. But you could give me every breakdown of every stat of your team. And oh man, our team this year, we're recruiting this kid who's in high school. Man, he's good. You ought to see him play. Have you seen him play? Well, he's in Indiana. I know I've seen some videos though. Do you know what I'm talking about? Simon can get into his Xbox, and man, he knows stuff about like football from playing Madden 17, where I'm like, who are you talking about? I've never heard of this person before. We don't struggle with the ability to gain and retain information. We struggle with the ability to apply ourselves to the correct information we need. And so the Bible tells us this. It tells us that one is that the Word of God is alive. Two, it tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through Him. Basically, it tells us that the Word of God is alive, and Jesus is the Word. And then the last thing here that it reminds us of is that long ago, God spoke to us through the ancestors and the prophets. This is Hebrews chapter 1. But in the final days, He's spoken to us through His Son. The Word, which is Jesus, Jesus' words, is the way that God communicates to us. And so the thought on this is simple. When you know the Word of God, when you understand, when you've read the Word of God, when it's part of who you are, knowing the Word of God will amplify the whisper of God in your life. So if you want to know, you want to hear God, can I tell you, find yourself in God's will. It's not about what you do, it's about who you are. Turn your ear to listen to God. Trust the wise counsel that God's placed in your life and know the text. I know it doesn't sound too sexy. It sounds like it could actually be a little bit of work because I got to commit a little bit of my time to knowing it. But can I tell you, it's worth it. Because if God, who created the universe, who created you and He created me and He created everything that we do and everything that we see, if we can simply begin to apply ourselves to the relationship we have with Him, we begin to hear Him more clearly. He's speaking already. It's just a matter of whether or not are we listening, are we hearing what He's saying. Can I tell you, that'll unlock the very purpose that God has placed in your life. Everything you're supposed to do, everything you're supposed to be, everything you're supposed to run into, all that begins to become more clear the closer we are with the person who created us. So do me a favor, stand to your feet.